You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Recorded in Chicago, Illinois, with your hosts, Ken, Matt, Neil, and Jeff, this is Triviality.
Hey, what up? It's your boy, Ken, back with another episode of Triviality. I want you to smash that like button, hit subscribe. What's up, guys? Welcome back to our show. I'm in the studio with Jeff alone. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing good. I'm a little scared of high energy, Ken.
I'm moving into YouTubing, that's why.
I see.
YouTubing is when you get pulled behind a boat, right?
I think that's something else.
Matt, how you doing?
Not as good as you, apparently. I thought that you were the ones who always reined these things in, but apparently it was Neil.
Apparently it was Neil, yeah. Neil is not here today. He took a little trip to the zoo nearby in Chicago, Lincoln Park. He saw the jaguar, got a little too excited, wanted a closer look, stuck his head right between those bars, and you know what happens, he got stuck. So right now the fire department is sawing the bars off. He should be here for the next episode, but we'll just have to see what happens.
I think you got to just slather his head in butter if Full House has taught me anything, and it pops right out.
Yeah, butter. You throw some peanut butter in there, some mustard, whatever. Yeah.
Just don't they end up in the end cutting the railing off?
Spoilers, please.
All right, well, obviously we're excited today. We have two very special guests. First up is Jennifer Earhart. She's an Oakland 5 supporter from just outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Welcome to the show, Jennifer. How you doing?
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I am an environmental consultant that lives outside of Philadelphia, and I've been listening to the show for a while, so I'm glad to join today.
Yeah, we're really happy to have you on. And we're also happy for our guest host today. It is Caitlin Joyce, returning once again. She is a Savage superstar, and she's from Raleigh, North Carolina. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Great. Welcome back to the show. We missed you. Obviously, no Geek Bowl this year, and we had a blast the last couple of years doing karaoke and hanging out and stuff like that. So it's nice to see you again.
Yeah, nice to see you guys, too, even if it's virtually.
Yeah. Well, we're in for a good game today. Matt has his WandaVision background, it looks like, on his his Skype. He's spoiling all of us.
I love the show.
It's great, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you get? What do you think is going to happen about that thing, huh?
Oh, it is going to be a big spoiler thing that we're going to talk about.
All right, we are not going to talk about that on the show, but we will be getting the rules.
The rules of the game are simple. 20 questions split into two rounds worth 10 points apiece. At halftime, there'll be a special swing round designed by this week's host. After regulation, players will enter the final round with the points that they've accumulated and will have a chance to wager 0 to 30 points on 5 categorized questions. At the end of the game, someone will be named the cream of the crop.
Crop rules everything around me.
Oh, the rules guy spoiled the whole thing. Why would he do that?
We just said to avoid spoilers.
Well, you can't really control the rules guy. He does his own thing.
He does his own thing. Darren is a free spirit.
Independent contractor, too.
So, guys, what are you going to do for your team name today?
Just a play off her last name and my love of Bret Hart and the Hart Foundation. We're going to be the Earhart Foundation.
All right. Sounds good. And since we're covered in snow for like the third time in a week, Jeff, how about we be the snowmen?
Sounds good.
Or if you prefer the Snow Ken.
I want to build a Snow Ken.
All right. We'll be the Snow Ken. So without further ado or any other puns that make me want to die, Caitlin, take it away.
Yeah, let's get started. Your first category is going to be in TV. The British drama series I May Destroy You was created, written, co-directed, and executive produced by what woman? She also stars in the series as Arabella and previously starred in and created the series Chewing Gum.
Okay, so we're not really sure on this one, to be honest. I don't think we've heard of these shows, right, Jeff?
No, none that have come across my radar.
Okay, so let's just pick a British actress and say Natalie Dormer. I think she's British.
So Jennifer, you are in the same boat as those guys, right? No idea about the show or anything?
No clue at all.
So literally my only inroads to this was I saw some Twitter upset because it was not nominated for any Golden Globes, while Emily in Paris, I believe is how you're actually supposed to say it, was nominated for some. All that being said, I know absolutely nothing, and we are also just going to say a British actress and go with Hermione herself, Emma Watson.
Nice pick.
Yeah, so this was full of controversy this week because it wasn't nominated for any Golden Globes, which was upsetting. This is actually Michaela Cole, spelled C-O-L-E. Or C-O-E-L, sorry. Yeah, she's phenomenal in this series. It's heartbreaking and so well acted and deserved much better. But
I always know part of things and then it's like the part that would be helpful, no, skip that.
That's Matt's bane, as we like to call it, right?
Mm-hmm. All right, getting into question number two, which is in the category of art. Not to be confused with the Klimt painting, the sculpture titled The Kiss was created by what artist? The sculpture portrays lovers Paolo Malatesta and Francesca da Rimini, whose affair subsequent punishment was immortalized in the Divine Comedy.
We're in with a guess.
Where does that leave us?
Clueless.
Yeah, unfortunately. So I think the Divine Comedy, we said, was possibly... ancient Greece or in that area. So we were looking at old, possibly Roman sculptors, and oh boy. I mean, Michelangelo's too late, right?
I would assume so, but it's an answer.
Yeah, when in doubt, go with the turtle. So we're gonna say Michelangelo.
We thought about going with the turtle, but we just took a little bit of a left turn and picked somebody who was around the time of the turtles, and we said Titian.
Yes, so this is actually Auguste Rodin, better known for the thinker.
More like the stinker.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a sculptor I could have named, but
yep.
Wrong one.
Yeah, I've been to his museum in Philadelphia.
Maybe next time.
Yeah. All right, let's see if we can get the ball rolling here with a sports question. Which two NFL teams are the only ones without a logo on their helmets, one of which got new helmets this past year?
All right, we are going to go ahead and lock in.
Okay, so very quickly, we went with the Browns. We're pretty sure on that one. And then, again. Mm-hmm. So we discussed... we basically just named all the teams. and then I think I really think that the Rams would be the only option because they did get new helmets and they have that new weird kind of fresh LA logo. So do you want to go with the Rams?
Yeah, I think that's our best bet.
Okay, so we're going to lock in with the Rams and the Browns.
Okay, we too quickly locked in on the Browns. The other one was a team that recently changed their name for obvious reasons and are now known as the Washington Football Team, and we figured that there was no logo on there yet, as a guess.
Yeah, so your correct answers are the Cleveland Browns and my favorite team name, which is the Washington Football Team, because it's hilarious.
I'm sorry, it's not even the Washington Football Team, right? It's just the Washington Football Team. Like it's a rubber stamp. Boom, Washington football team.
This episode is called Ken and Jeff Beat Matt on a Sports Question.
Yeah, I could have literally said the Browns and I don't know, some football team, and I would have been right. What a shame.
Yeah, so, all right, let's get into your next question, which is, I consider this a lifestyle category. In astrology, each zodiac sign has a ruling planet. Mercury is the ruling planet of Virgo and what sign that is the third in the zodiac and whose sun transits the sign between May 21st and June 21st?
We can lock in.
Oh, really?
Oh. Yeah.
Jeez.
Did you read your horoscope today?
No, but I happen to know that date range. So
okay.
We'll lock in.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
So I know no one with a birthday in that date range.
Oh, no.
So, but I'm Pisces, which is like March-ish.
Okay.
And then Aries is March into April. Okay. Those are the two I know.
All right. It's Scorpio is November. And I think Taurus is around, is later too. So what's left? Maybe this is this maybe Cancer or?
Cancer is like July because my sister-in-law is that.
Okay, so we're knocking them down. What about Sagittarius?
I don't know about that one.
Leo? Could it be Leo or Libra? I don't know what I'm saying now.
I'm going to guess Libra out of those three.
Okay. I'm trusting you. This is all on you when we're wrong. I'm going to blame you. Yep.
So clearly confident.
I could hear it in your voice, and we are locking in with Libra.
Jeff is big into astrology, so I'll let him take it this one.
That's right. I believe it's the sun goes down, heroes eventually die. No, wait, that's Aquemini. We're going to go with Gemini.
Yes, so this is my sign as well as my sister's, although we're not twins. This is Gemini.
Oh,
it also happens to be mine.
Yeah.
Can we change our team name to Twinsies?
Twinsies. Twinning.
Like that Will Smith movie, right?
Yeah.
Is that Gemini Man? Terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a terrible movie as Gemini Man. fun fact, also mutable signs like Gemini and Virgo are the signs of most serial killers.
That checks out.
Yeah. Yep.
Verified.
It does. all right. Let's get into your next question. This is in history. What Bavarian king, sometimes referred to as Swan King, is known for his extravagant architectural projects, including Neuschwanstein Castle? His spending was used against him to declare him insane and depose him before his mysterious death in 1886.
Okay, I've been to Neuschwanstein, but for some reason my brain is malfunctioning today. I'm kind of marble mouthed as well. So I think his name was Ludwig, but I'm kind of second guessing that.
Okay. Jennifer, you said you studied some German or?
Yeah, I took German all through middle and high school. And every year we watched a video on Neuschwanstein. And I told Matt I couldn't remember the guy's name, but Matt remembered, luckily.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is Ludwig.
Yeah, your correct answer is Ludwig Otto Frederick Wilhelm, or Ludwig II specifically, King of Bavaria.
Yep. I'm glad I remembered that. I don't know why I second guessed that. I'm having a weird night.
I know why you second guessed it, because it's Ludwig II.
Yeah, Ludwig II.
Yep, Ludwig II. So if you need the Reginald number, there you go.
All right, after five questions, the Snowmen, or the Snowken, as I guess we're calling it, have 30 points, and the Earhart Foundation, 10 points. So we are in the lead by just a little bit.
All right, let's get into your sixth question. This is in drinks. What popular Italian cocktail is made of equal parts gin, vermouth rosso, and Campari, and it's garnished with an orange peel?
I don't like it. I don't like this question. So let's get the next one. All right, we will discuss.
The only one I can think of that is gin dominant, I think, that has an orange peel, and vermouth. So vermouth is like bitter, I think. I think this might be a Negroni. We used to sell them at MJ's when I used to work there. I'll say that kept corporate name because I don't care about them.
The real question is it as good as Stanley Tucci's?
No. Are you okay with locking in with Negroni?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, we're going to lock in with Negroni.
Okay, we had absolutely no idea. So after my Italian grandfather, we're calling it the Orange Giuseppe.
Well, no offense to your Italian grandfather, but I'm afraid that's incorrect. The correct answer is a Negroni.
Hey.
Yep.
I'm gonna invent the orange Giuseppe. I'm gonna bust open Neil's liquor cabinet.
Orange soda and vodka.
Make it sound all fancy, and it's just garbage.
All right, let's get into your seventh question of this first round. The Disney Pixar movie Soul was released in 2020 and stars Tina Fey as 22 and what Academy Award-winning actor as Joe Gardner, a passionate jazz pianist?
All right, I did not watch this one. Did you watch this one?
I think it's Jamie Foxx.
Is it Jamie Foxx?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be, yeah. He's an Academy Award winner.
Yeah. I did see it. I think it's him.
It wouldn't be Mahershala Ali?
No, definitely not Mahershala. Okay. No, a guy with a definitely higher register.
All right, let's go with Jamie Foxx then.
Yeah.
All right, we are locked in.
Okay. Tina Fey, and I know a lot of people saw this and had existential crises. Yeah, that's true.
I didn't watch it and had an existential crisis.
That's what I mean. I didn't have an existential crisis after watching it, but I did like it.
That's odd for you. Comforting. Liking something. I think this might have been Jamie Foxx. I feel like he was in one of these movies that I didn't see. but I remember it being when I was watching The Mandalorian. It was promoted pretty much every time I opened Disney Plus. If you're okay with that, I think we can lock in with Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, let's go with that.
All right. Mr. Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, and we agree. We said Jamie Foxx.
Yep, known for winning his Academy Award for playing Ray. Ray Charles, it is Jamie Foxx.
I thought it was for Stealth. It wasn't?
No, he was nominated for Collateral, and then he won for Ray for Best Actor. Yeah.
I love Collateral.
Collateral's good.
All right, and your next question in the round is in science. One of the most poisonous commonly grown garden plants, what ornamental shrub is in the dogbane family, Apocynaceae? The character Ingrid uses this as a poison to kill a boyfriend in a book by Janet Fitch.
Okay, let's discuss.
All right, Jennifer, so what kind of shrubs are you thinking about?
The only thing I thought of originally was hydrangea, but I don't think that's right.
Yeah. So I was thinking, when I'm thinking about shrubs, I don't want no shrubs.
Which you often do. You often have shrubs.
Uh-huh. No shrubs. I'm thinking of something that would be common that would potentially be poisonous. And I remember that we had a rhubarb plant behind one of my apartments that I used to live in. And my parents told me that the leaves were actually poisonous. So I think that might be it. Do you want to go with rhubarb?
Yeah, let's go with that.
Okay, we're locking in.
Yeah, we talked about a few things, but honestly, we didn't come up with much. And we just said hydrangea because they're pretty flowers and they grow in a shrub sort of form. But honestly, this question makes me want to Homer back my way into a shrub.
So the book in question for this was a bestseller in 1999. They made a movie out of it. And that was the hint because it has the words of the shrub in it. It's called Oleander. Mm. The book was White Oleander.
Isn't that the guy who sells wands in Harry Potter?
Indeed. But only the English ones. There's a different one in Germany and all the other countries. Yeah.
All right, moving on.
Finally, one of my jokes lands.
Your jokes that's are an just Ollivander leaving the room joke. Dead. All right, we're moving on to music. What Irish singer-songwriter partnered with country artist Maren Morris on the remixed version of her song The Bones? The original version of this song is nominated for a Best Country Song at the 2021 Grammy Awards.
Should we just go with that Irish guy?
Sure.
Okay. We are locked in with that Irish guy.
Okay. So they're going with Ed Sheeran.
That is correct.
That is correct. My first thought was also Ed Sheeran.
Yeah. I don't know a lot of Irish singers.
It's either Bono or Ed Sheeran.
Yeah. I don't know.
Basically the same.
Irish, he's very redheaded. do you just want to go with Ed Sheeran?
Yep.
All right. We're gonna go with Ed Sheeran.
All right. So I think I tripped you up with the word Irish singer, but there are other Irish singers.
No, don't believe you. Sinead O'Connor.
This is Hozier.
A Hozier.
That didn't take me to a right answer.
No.
No.
All right. Your final question in this round is also in history.
All right.
Known for losing his head in the French Revolution, Louis XVI was the last king of what European dynastic family?
Okay, we are going to go ahead and lock in on this one. Lock in.
I think you know the country, Matt. I'm not.
It's not Ireland.
America. King Louis was the orangutan in Jungle Book, right? Yeah. Okay, so we're halfway there.
Was this the Capri Sun King?
Oh, no. What are some French names? Tony Parker. God. This is not good. This game is getting away from me. L'Orange?
Sure.
Yeah, we're going to go with King Louis the Orange.
Okay, I'm thinking that Matt needs a drink, and we are going to go with bourbon.
So the French dynastic family is the Bourbons.
As
Ken's right.
Don't you hate it when Ken's right?
Matt, you did name a family, though. Orange, like William of Orange, but they are from Holland.
Oh, okay. Named the Dutch
mainly,
boy.
They're mainly Dutch, yeah.
Very on brand for the show, that's fair.
All right, after the first round, it looks like we have maintained a slight lead. We have 50 points, and the Earhart Foundation has 30 points. So let's go right into the swing round.
All right, so hopefully we can turn this thing around for the swing round. We're going to be doing a lot of matching in this one, so I'm going to be giving you two things, and you got to match them to each other. I'm going to be giving you a children's book and their author, and you have to match the author to the classic children's book.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, so here I will give you your list of books first, and then I'll give you your list of authors. All right, your first book is Corduroy. Your second one is Winnie the Pooh. Your third one is Charlotte's Web. Your fourth one is Where the Wild Things Are. Your fifth one is Goodnight Moon. Sixth one is Anne of Green Gables. Seventh is A Wrinkle in Time. Eight is Harold and the Purple Crayon. Nine is The Snowy Day. And 10 is The Story of Ferdinand. Your authors in question are Madeleine L'Engle, Maurice Sendak, Ezra Jack Keats, A.A. Milne, E.B. White, Margaret Wise Brown, Crockett Johnson, Munro Leaf, Lucy Maud Montgomery, and Don Freeman.
All right, we will consider these children's books. Have you read these, Jeff?
I've read several of them this week.
Oh, that's good. You keeping the mind going. That's excellent. We'll be right back.
Hey there, I'm Dylan Lewis, one of the hosts of Motley Fool Money. Each weekday on Motley Fool Money, we talk through the business news you need to know and the stories moving stocks on Wall Street. On weekends, we dive into the industries shaping tomorrow and host the experts, authors, and executives that understand them. Tune in for insights, a long-term perspective on investing, and of course, stock ideas, plenty of them. To quote a listener, it pays to listen. Check us out and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship.
We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
And we are back with our answers to the swing round. I think these were about half we got them and half we guessed, right, Jeff?
Yeah, that's about right.
So hopefully we can pick up some points. Let's hear the books one more time, and we will try to match the authors.
All right, your first book was Corduroy.
All right, and we think that one is Don Freeman.
Pure guess, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was like the last book I knew, like I had read, and the last author that sounded familiar. So. Okay.
Yeah, so for Corduroy, we guessed Ezra Jack Keats.
So this author is Don Freeman.
Good job to Jeff.
All right, your next one is Winnie the Pooh.
That one was a little easier for us. That is A.A. Milne.
Yep, we were pretty happy to get one of these right, and we also said A.A. Milne.
Yes, that is A.A. Milne. All right, your third one is Charlotte's Web.
Again, a little bit more gettable, E.B. White.
Yep, and same thing here, E.B. White.
Yep, that is correct. It is E.B. White. Your fourth one was Where the Wild Things Are.
Yep, one of our favorites, Maurice Sendak.
Mm-hmm. Also had Maurice Sendak.
That is correct. Maurice Sendak is the right answer. All right, your fifth one was Goodnight Moon.
So at this point, we were kind of running out of authors to pick, and we just kind of picked one that sounded familiar, so we went with Brown.
And we had a similar situation. We had two we went between, and we went with Lucy Maud Montgomery.
Yeah, so this author is Margaret Wise Brown.
This is not good for us.
Your sixth one is Anne of Green Gables.
All right, so for Anne of Green Gables, we thought this was Lucy Maud Montgomery.
And this one we got wrong because we said it was Brown.
Yep, Anne of Green Gables author is Lucy Maud Montgomery. All right, your next one is A Wrinkle in Time.
One of the few that I know that I read probably about third grade, fourth grade. I think this is Madeline L'Engle, however you say the last
name. Jeff was an advanced reader.
Yeah.
And we went with the same thing, Madeline L'Engle.
Yep, the correct author is Madeline L'Engle. All right, and your eighth one is Harold and the Purple Crayon.
So far, we bet correctly on all these, and it's just down to these last three, which were pure guesses. We said Leaf.
I thought this one sounded funny, then we just went with Crockett Johnson.
Yeah, this is my favorite sounding author name on this list, honestly. It's Crockett Johnson.
All right.
And the streak is over. The dream is dead.
We were due. That's what it was.
All right, your ninth one is The Snowy Day.
For this one, we went with everybody's favorite time-traveling superhero, Crockett Johnson.
And we had guessed Don Freeman.
This is Ezra Jack Keats. All right, and that leaves your final one, which is my favorite book from when I was a kid, is The Story of Ferdinand.
Now, who is Ferdinand? The bull?
He's a bull.
Oh, yeah, they made that movie about it. Right. Anyways, we guessed Keats. That's wrong.
I think that left us with the right answer. I think we said Leaf.
Yep, the correct answer is Monroe Leaf.
All right.
So nicely done, guys.
All right, picking up 35 in the swing round is us. That brings us to 85, and picking up 30 in the swing round is the Earhart Foundation, and that brings them to 60. Let's move on to round two.
Yep, your round two, first question in round two is going to be in sports. What medieval sport became the official state sport of Maryland in 1962? Tournaments in the sport have been held in the state since early colonial times.
I know I check out medieval sport all the time at Medieval Times.
Very local reference.
Is it? It's no, they have locations all over the place.
We went to one in sixth grade for a field trip that was in New Jersey. So
no reason to stop when you reach adulthood. That's all I'm going to say about that. As long as you're belligerent.
Everyone needs a turkey leg.
Yeah. I found that the key to having fun at medieval times is belligerency.
You're not wrong.
All right, let's discuss.
Jousting.
Jousting? That's a medieval sport.
I think so.
Archery?
I think it's jousting.
Could be archery.
It could be archery.
I like jousting.
I do too.
But do
I've
they mean
never
like,
been to medieval times.
Do they mean jousting like the arcade game Joust?
No, I literally think they're just trying to run pikes into each other.
Okay, we will say jousting.
Yeah, and I was thinking because they have the shield basically on their flag, it would make sense that it'd be a jousting, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the only medieval sport I know.
Yeah, so we're going to lock in with my favorite arcade game of the 70s and say Joust.
Yeah, so your correct answer is jousting.
All right. Jeff and I are going to go out back and do some jousting right after this, but in our cars.
I've done it in kayaks before with squirt guns. It's fantastic.
With squirt guns, did you say?
Yeah, my nephews... Me and my brother rowing at each other, and my nephews with squirt guns in the back.
Just use the oars to try and knock you.
I would totally do that.
Knock you out of a canoe, Jeff.
All right. So getting into your second question of the round, this is going to be a literature question. Concrete Rose is the newest release by Angie Thomas and the prequel to what book? This book takes place 17 years prior and in the same neighborhood of Garden Heights.
So it's The Hate U Give. I've read it, and I am looking forward to reading the new one. So,
okay. I think they had a Netflix special, right? Maybe?
It was made into a movie. Gotcha. I haven't seen the movie.
All right. Well, then, that's awesome. We're locked in.
We have no idea, so we're just going to tap on this one.
Yeah, so the correct answer to this is this Concrete Rose is the prequel to The Hate U Give. But I look forward to reading it too, because I really enjoyed The Hate. Well, enjoyed is a rough word.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, it was a really good book.
Yes, it was an impactful book.
Yes. Question three in your second round is going to be in movies. What 2021 black and white romantic drama written and directed by Sam Levinson is garnering Oscar buzz for Zendaya? The film was the first Hollywood feature to be entirely written, financed, and produced during the COVID-19 pandemic.
It's in my queue. What's it called? I was just like, oh, this one, I want to see this in the queue. I didn't even look at it.
Yeah, you can't open Netflix without it being like shoved in your face. I love Zendaya. Do you know this one, Jennifer?
I don't.
Okay, we can lock in. I know it.
Nope, I'm not going to get it. Sorry, Jeff. Got a tap.
All right, I believe the name of that movie is Malcolm and Marie.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is garnering a lot of interesting reviews right now. Everyone says the acting is phenomenal, but the screenplay itself is a little bit interesting because it's written by a white person. But this is Malcolm and Marie.
Yeah, I hear good things.
Yeah. All right. So getting into your fourth question of the round, this is a current events question. Lady Gaga teamed up with Oreo to make a line of pink vanilla flavored cookies with green cream filling to help promote her sixth studio album with what title?
I just saw these.
That sounds gross.
Oh, they look gross. I thought it when I first saw it, I thought it was one of those like parody kind of ads, and it wasn't a real thing.
Like toothpaste flavored Oreos or nacho cheese flavored Oreos. I see the Lady Gaga like ads too, and I can't remember what the album's called. It's probably not Hydrox in that case.
Hail Hydrox.
Can you pull this one, Jeff, at all?
I haven't listened to any of her newer albums.
Yeah, it's not going to come to us. It's pink and green. Hummingbird. Yeah. Hummingbird.
Okay.
Flavored Oreos. Can really taste the nectar.
Creating quite a buzz. Oh, that works. That's okay.
When you saw them, your heart went aflutter.
So I hadn't heard about the Oreos, but I think it's Chromatica.
Oh, okay. You're a little monster. Is that what I'm hearing?
Sure.
I'm a bit of a medium monster myself. We can lock in with Chromatica.
Matt just lives for the applause.
And how right you are.
Yeah, these disgusting looking cookies apparently just taste like the vanilla Oreos, but they have like Nickelodeon slime colored filling. These are made to help promote her album Chromatica.
Oh, right.
All right. The Earhart Foundation caught us slipping, so we are now losing this game. So let's turn it around for question five.
All right. Your fifth question is going to be in theater. What English playwright of the Elizabethan era wrote the plays Tamburlaine the Great and the tragical history of the life and death of Dr. Faustus? He was considered the foremost dramatist in London, but his career was cut short due to his mysterious death at age 29.
I know exactly one Elizabethan dramatist.
Go on.
That's it. I don't know what to do.
William Shakespeare.
Billy Shakes.
Billy Shakes. Sad to say, but I've had nothing on the list, like a couple.
I Got Nothing was the title of my sex tape.
Why haven't they made a movie about this? Then at least Neil would know.
Exactly. And then after he answered it the fifth time on the show, I would remember it.
Believe it or not, I was thinking about Shakespeare in Love, but it's been too long since I've seen that.
I don't know. Let's go with another English person and say Emma Watson again.
Sounds great.
Yeah, we had nothing, unfortunately, so we got to tap on this one.
So this is... I know you were talking about how you wish there was movies made of this. Well, it was briefly in Shakespeare in Love. This is Christopher Marlowe.
Is that Ben Affleck?
No, that is Rupert Everett in that movie.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so I was on the right track. I just couldn't. There's no way I was going to pull that. But.
Yep. But he was Shakespeare's rival, and he's one of the people who people say may or may not have written some of Shakespeare's plays.
All right. After that five questions in the second round, we lost the lead. It's 100-95. So you guys surged early in that round. So good job.
It was a roaring comeback. It's more where that came from, probably, maybe.
Yeah, right. All right, let's go.
All right. Your sixth question of the round is in TikTok.
Yes.
Neil's gone.
I feel like every game is written for Neil now.
That's because he's a smart cookie, man.
According to a new trend on TikTok, Gen Z has decided that millennials need to stop wearing skinny jeans, using the cry laugh emoji, and doing what with their hair?
We can lock it in.
Of course.
God.
I just read this too. I don't know why I was on BuzzFeed or something. But, doing what with their hair? Oh, it's the side part.
Okay.
It's the side part, which I can't do anymore anyway, so it's fine. Matt, can you do that? How's your regrowth coming?
It's male pattern baldness does not lend itself to the middle part that Gen Z is preferring at this point in time. The answer is side part.
So in the long list of things that Gen Z is shaming millennials for, we now can no longer side part our hair. So the correct answer is side part.
Gen Z can pry my skinny jeans off of my sweaty calves.
There was a whole thing about, Target released like their spring clothing out, and people wander around wondering what year it was. Cause it's like for women, it's baby doll tops, it's cut off cardigans, it's like short overalls that are pastel colors, mm-hmm. and like the Disney things we used to wear in the 90s, the shirts with the Disney characters on them. And I'm just like, if they bring back Junko jeans, I'm out.
And finally, the crop tops, which are still not available at Tee Public, but you should go to our store and buy a t-shirt.
They are available if you buy a full-size t-shirt
and then cut it. And then you screw it up, so you have to buy another one. Buy as many as you need. It's fine. They'll be there.
Buy a practice one first, and then you buy the real one.
Yeah. All right. Your seventh question in the round is going to be in super-duper current events, because this happened yesterday.
Whoa.
During his MVP speech at the 2021 NFL Honors, Aaron Rodgers revealed that he is engaged to what actress known for her role in Big Little Lies?
And he moved on from Olivia Munn pretty fast, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What the hell? F*** that guy and his mustache.
The Rodgers stash is no bueno. Like you have to be rich and famous to get away with that.
It's
ugly
a me,
of a must.
Aaron Rodgers. Do you know?
Because nobody who had like real friends who weren't kissing your ass constantly would tell you that looked good.
Mm. Okay, we are locked in. Jeff has finally pulled an answer by himself, and that answer is.
We guessed Shailene Woodley.
Well, that would probably be a pretty good poll because I'm pretty sure the answer is Shailene Woodley.
Found out yesterday when he let it slip in his speech that he is engaged to Shailene Woodley.
The return of the Reservoir of Genius. Except this time it's on this side of the table.
Reservoir
and this side of the
Genius.
Look at those pipes. Jeff, been holding out on us.
Yep. So your eighth question in the round is in TV. What comedy drama television series created by Darren Star premiered on Netflix in October of 2020? The series was controversially nominated for a Golden Globe in the Best Television Series and Best Actress in a Musical or Comedy categories.
Why did I read the Golden Globe nominations if I wasn't going to remember anything? This is like bad trivia practice, just in general, my life, bad trivia practice.
Jennifer, you know this one?
No.
We can lock in.
Matt. All right. Dramedy Netflix series, October 2020. Seems like a long time ago. It's too much on Netflix.
They said they're going to put out a movie every week this year.
Okay.
So they're just putting out content.
That's not even a lot. I mean, how many movies usually come out in the box office on a weekend? A couple?
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. I don't know this one.
Nominated for in the musical or comedy category?
Yeah, she said it was a dramedy.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Atypical is a show on Netflix. We'll pick that.
That's definitely a dramedy. It's funny because I did mention the name of this show earlier. It was really funny. There's a Twitter comedian who posted that she was the actual executive producer of this show. And then she posted that she doesn't understand why it got nominated because she made the show as a joke. And it got picked up by like a bunch of news outlets who were like re-reporting it. So I believe the answer is Emily in Paris.
Wow.
Yeah, Matt did bring this up earlier and I was laughing to myself because the answer is Emily in Paris or Emily in Paris.
It has to rhyme. That's what I heard. That's how I thought it was Emily in Paris forever. But someone said, no, it rhymes.
Fool, it rhymes.
All right. Your ninth question of the round is going to be in science. Your question is, what acid species shares its name with an American chemist and former dean of the College of Chemistry at University of California, Berkeley? These acids are characterized by an empty orbital, which can accept an electron pair.
Oh, man.
That is silence right there.
Can I hear that again, please?
This is hardcore science.
This is what the depths of space sound like, if you listen very carefully. I can name two kinds of acid. Well, three.
You're an idiot.
All right, we're whatever.
Yeah. I feel, you know, just want to, you know, drop the right acid here, and I just don't know which one.
How dare you?
Which one to go? We mentioned a lot of different kinds of acids, your sulfuric, your hydrochloric, your washed jeans, and we just have no idea here. So we're just going to lock in with weak acids, I believe, is what Jennifer said.
Yes, I'm a bad chemical engineer, but that's what I came up with.
That's okay. I got a coffee question wrong once, too, so it happens to everyone.
And we just can't think of an acid named after a person unless the person is Dean Ascorbic. So we said that.
Yes. So the person in question that these acids are referred to is Gilbert N. Lewis. These are Lewis acids.
Mm.
Doesn't ring a bell, to be honest.
Yeah,
but that's okay.
You're so
we
close.
Learn stuff. Sometimes we learn stuff.
All right. Your final question in the regular round is in geography. Alexander Island is considered the largest island on what continent?
All right, we're good. We're good.
Maybe.
Okay. So we narrowed it down to seven. So that was a good
Wait,
start.
Wait, there are seven continents?
Yeah, I know. Blowing your mind. You were going to say Pangaea, but you thought that's not right.
Technically correct.
So you were thinking maybe Antarctica?
Yeah, it's the one that seems like I wouldn't know an island name for.
And that is fair. We don't know, so we're saying Antarctica.
And I was pretty sure I could name the largest island in all the other continents, with maybe
you
exception
smarty
of
pants.
South America. But we also went with Antarctica.
Yes, so your correct answer is Antarctica. So
take
good
that,
job.
Jeff. We're right in your face.
I like how you think I would be mad that you also got a question right.
No, I don't care. That's a joke.
Okay, in the final stretch, it looks like we picked up an additional 30, bringing our score to 125. These guys increased their lead, though, picking up another 40 points, bringing their total to 140. So they're going into the final with the lead. But really quick, both of these fine folks on our show today are Patreon supporters. Jeff, can you remind our listeners how they can join them?
Very simple. Patreon.com/trivialitypodcast is where you can check out all of our different tiers and perks that we've got for you there. We are on a drive this year. We're trying to get to 500 patrons, which would be awesome for us. And we are very appreciative of the support that we've been given so far. It's allowed us to do a lot of extra things like add new content publicly and behind the scenes for those of you who are interested. So check it out. Patreon.com/trivialitypodcast.
Now that those obligatory drops are completed, Neil won't yell at us when he gets his head unstuck from the railing. So let's move on to the final. What are those categories?
All right, your first category in the final round is a bird in the hand. Your second category is worth two in a bush. Three, cruel to be kind. Four, you're barking up the wrong tree. Five, a penny for your thoughts.
Now, is penny for your thoughts, is that spelled T-H-O-T-S?
Is penny capitalized or lowercase?
Now I have an opportunity and I'm mad.
Okay, our wagers were locked in. We were going to do 27 half all the way down, but instead we decided to do 15s all the way down. And you guys said you were doing 10s all the way down. So we're going to have to do a little better than we thought we were going to have to do, Jeff. Let's get those questions and pray.
All right, your first question in the category, a bird in the hand. What board game published by Stonemaier Games won the Kernespiel de Jahres Award for Best Connoisseur Game of the Year in 2019? The card-driven game makes players compete to attract birds to their wildlife reserves. Your second question is worth two in a bush. Which of George W. Bush's daughters started a book club in 2019? She currently co-hosts the fourth hour of NBC's Today and is an editor at large for Southern Living magazine. First name is fine. Your third category, cruel to be kind. I must be cruel to be kind is an idiom derived from what Shakespearean play when the title character refers to his killing of Polonius?
Go ahead with the next one.
I think I remember that one from the poster.
That's good.
All right, your fourth category, you're barking up the wrong tree. In 2021, the Puppy Bowl, Team Ruff won against Team Fluff and awarded the MVP trophy to Marshall, a hearing impaired dog of what breed? This breed is the result of a cross between an English bulldog and a white English terrier.
I knew the name.
All right, your fifth question, a penny for your thoughts. Penny dreadfuls were popular serial literature produced during the 19th century. The subjects of these stories were typically sensational, focusing on the exploits of detectives, criminals, or supernatural entities.
What famous straight razor wielding murderer first appeared in the penny dreadful, The String of Pearls?
All right. We will consider our answers and we'll be right back.
Boo-doo.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. On our show, we help listeners like you make the most of your finances. I sit down with NerdWallet's team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. We answer your real-world money questions and break down the latest personal finance news. The nerds will give you the clarity you need by cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. We don't promote get-rich-quick schemes or hype unrealistic side hustles. Instead, we offer practical knowledge that you can apply in your everyday life. You'll learn about strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. And you'll walk away with the confidence you need to ensure that your money is always working as hard as you are. So turn to the nerds to answer your real-world money questions and get insights that can help you make the smartest financial decisions for your life. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to From Beneath the Hollywood Sign. If you love old movies, Hollywood history, or the golden age of filmmaking, you've come to the right place. This is the podcast that talks about amazing stories of Tinseltown from another era and fascinating conversations with writer-producer Steve Kubine and actress-writer Nan McNamara.
One particular argument, he ended up dislocating Ava's jaw. Ava, she was such a tough cookie. Rather than cry or scream or anything like that, she...
Or call the police,
like she should have, exactly. What does she do? She takes an ashtray and she knocks him over the head and knocks him unconscious. That's how she fought back. She didn't know what to do, so she called Louis B. Mayer. I think I've killed Howard Hughes. What do I do?
Revisit a time when the pictures were still big and everyone was ready for their close-up. When you want Tyrone Power instead of Tom Hardy, Jennifer Jones instead of Jennifer Lawrence, or Robert Mitchum rather than Robert Pattinson, then From Beneath the Hollywood Sign is the gin joint for you.
All the answers are now locked in. So let's see how we did here.
All right. Your first question was A Bird in the Hand. What board game published by Stonemaier Games won the Kennerspiel des Jahres for Best Connoisseur Game of the Year in 2019? The card-driven game makes players compete to attract birds to their wildlife reserves.
Yeah, sadly, this is not one that we were aware of. So we just kind of guessed Hummingbird. And hope that's a game.
Yeah, I don't know if this was based off the hit Netflix movie Bird Box or whatever, but we have no idea either. We said Flock of Seagulls.
This is a beautifully designed game. The artwork is amazing. It's called Wingspan.
See, that's a much better name for a game than Hummingbird. That's what Jeff was criticizing my game naming abilities.
I mean, yours would have been better than mine. I would have just called it like Sparrow the Gathering.
Jeff is very pretentious with his board games. That's a fact.
That's a fact, Jack.
All right. Your second question was, is worth two in a bush. Which of George W. Bush's daughters started a book club in 2019? She currently co-hosts the fourth hour of NBC's Today and is an editor at large for Southern Living Magazine.
Yeah, this was the first Bush we could remember that wasn't Laura. We said Jenna.
Yeah, similar situation here. Jenna was the one I could name.
So the correct answer here is Jenna Bush Hager. That's why I said you don't have to say her last name because she's married now. So
I did know that.
Question number three, cruel to be kind. I must be cruel to be kind is an idiom derived from what Shakespearean play when the title character refers to his killing of Polonius.
Okay, we were trying to recall Neil's bathroom poster with all the Shakespeare killings on it. And the one with the most killings, I think, was Titus Andronicus, right?
Yeah, I believe you are correct. So that's what we guessed.
Yeah, unfortunately, I haven't been in Neil's bathroom recently. So I'm not sure.
Not that he knew of anyways.
I remember this, so I thought it might be from a play that I read before, so I just said Othello.
Yes, so this is actually from the play Hamlet.
Oh no.
The most famous one. Well, one of the most.
We needed that one.
All right, your fourth question in the final round. You're barking up the wrong tree. In the 2021 Puppy Bowl, Team Ruff won against Team Fluff and awarded the MVP trophy to Marshall, a hearing-impaired dog of what breed? This breed is the result of a cross between an English bulldog and a white English terrier.
Please let us know if we need to be more specific, because we just smashed together the words that you said and said bull terrier.
That's fine.
Okay. Great.
I think it's a similar breed, and we went with Boston Terrier.
Yeah, so known for their squished faces and black and white fur, this is a Boston Terrier. All right, and your fifth question, a penny for your thoughts. Penny dreadfuls were popular serial literature produced during the 19th century. The subjects of these stories were typically sensational, focusing on the exploits of detectives, criminals, and supernatural entities. What famous straight-razor-wielding murderer first appeared in a penny dreadful? The Strings of Pearls.
Attend the tale of us losing this game, we said Sweeney Todd.
Yeah, so we also went with Sweeney Todd.
The correct answer is the Barber of Fleet Street. It is Sweeney Todd.
Okay, in that final round, we lost 15 points, bringing our total to 110. But today's cream of the crop picked up 10 points with a very conservative bet and ended up with 150. Congratulations, you're the cream of the crop.
Are you Carly Simon? Because nobody does it better. You're the cream of the crop.
I'm very excited for them, but I'm also not excited because the loser of this game gets baked into a pie. So,
yeah. At this point, I'm accepting whatever fate has in store for me. So, great question. So, we really enjoyed that, Caitlin. Thanks again.
No problem. I'm happy to help out when in a time of need, when somebody needs to host.
Yeah, always happy to have you on the show. Jennifer, great game. Congratulations on the victory.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. Any last shout outs to give?
It's my mom's birthday today, so happy birthday to her in case I share this with her.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to your mom.
Yes. How about you, Caitlin?
I have no shout outs, really. I have no one to go, no place to go, no one to know. Moved during a pandemic too, Matt. It's been rough.
Yeah.
So shout out to my fiance who has been dealing with me during a pandemic for over a year now living at home.
Yeah. There's a lot of people feeling that feeling right now. So shout out to all of them too. But yeah, this
shout
is
out to everyone who's been living in a pandemic, which is everyone.
Yeah.
So
7 billion or so. All right. Well, to all 7 billion of our listeners, we want to thank you once again from Jennifer, Caitlin, Matt, Jeff, not Neil, and myself. That was Triviality. A lot of editing on this episode because of me, by me.
I know. You only have yourself to blame.
I'm my own worst enemy. I'm missing my right-hand man.
Oh,
you're my right leg man.
Nice.
And Matt is in LA.